Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Now our lesson today is taken from the 17th chapter of 2 Kings, the 7th chapter of 2 Kings, and it records an event that occurred there some 800-900 years before Christ. At this time the people of God were divided into two kingdoms, northern Israel and southern Judah. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, besieged Samaria, that was the capital of northern Israel, and the result was a terrible famine in the city. And the severity of that famine is seen in the high price even for substance that will really ought not been eaten. And the people even resorted to eating their own children. Can you imagine the horror of that? And starvation was driving them insane. Well, in the midst of this plight, Elisha, the prophet of God, came forth and he said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." In other words, he is simply saying, tomorrow there will be food supplies in abundance, and it will be at a very reasonable price. Now, this prediction was so different from what then existed that most people refused to believe what he had to say. And as we continue to read, we read about some very special characters. There were lepers at the gate that faced a very dire situation and some dire consequences. They realized that if they remained where they were, they would die. They realized also if they would enter into the city, they would die of starvation with all the others. Or they could go over to the Syrian camp. Oh, they would run the risk of being killed, all right. But possibly they would find food and the Syrians would give them help. Now, of these alternatives, they naturally chose the only one that was open to them that offered any hope whatsoever, and so they proceeded to the Syrian camp. Well, when they came to the camp, they found it totally abandoned. Now, the explanation for this is given in the next verses. It says, "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." You see, when the lepers got to the camp, they found no man. But what did they find? They found plenty to eat, plenty to drink, along with treasures, valuable supplies, and they began to enrich themselves, enjoying to the fullest their discovery. Verse 8 tells us that when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Well, in a very short span of time, they had gone from hopelessness, they had gone from a state of despair and poverty and hunger, into an environment of abundance. And there was joy, there was feasting, they were in the midst of wealth. But one leper took note. In verse 9, he said, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace." This man reflected upon his good fortune. He was aware of his good fortune, but he also remembered that there will be those back in the city of Samaria who were in need. Yes, the city of Samaria was not endangered anymore by the Syrians, but the people in Samaria did not know that. Now, this leper, he knew he had a duty toward others to let them know of the abundance that was available. He was also conscious that if he withheld this news, that would eventually bring about his own condemnation. Yes, this was a day of good news, and he realized that this good news needed to be spread to others that also needed to bask in the great abundance that they had found. My dear listening friend, let us make a spiritual application of the principles involved in the awareness of this leper. It's a very simple and easily understood application. Jesus said before he ascended into heaven, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Focus on the word gospel. The word gospel, friend, means good news. It means glad tidings. You may recall that at the birth of Jesus, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It was good news. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us that the news of the kingdom of God is also called glad tidings. When the Apostle Paul went to the city of Antioch in Pisidia on his first missionary journey, he said that his message was a message of glad tidings, the fulfillment of the promises that God had made to the ancient fathers of Israel. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, he said, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Yes, dear friend, the gospel is indeed good news. But now, why is the gospel such good news? How can we be so sure that the gospel is good news? Well, when you consider mankind separated from the gospel, you realize his condition is deplorable. Sin separates man from God, Isaiah chapter 59. And sin is a transgression of the law of God, 1 John chapter 3. And Paul says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3. And the wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6. Apart from God, we are as strangers and foreigners, like the Ephesians were before they came to the Lord. Aliens from God, outside of the covenant relationship with the Lord, without promise, without hope, without God in the world. Friend, without Christ, mankind is lost. He's doomed, he's damned, and even in this life he's frustrated and confused. He's hopeless and helpless. He's in doubt. He suffers from insecurity, and there's nothing awaiting him but an eternal hell. But the gospel is God's way of saving mankind from sin, Romans 1 and verse 16. That's the reason the gospel is good news. We are saved by the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. And the seed by which we are begotten and by which we are saved is the word of God, James chapter 1, verse 21, and also 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. My dear friend, it is by the power of the gospel that our former state in sin is displaced with forgiveness. We enjoy security. We have a purpose in life. We are given hope. There's a cleansing. There's sanctification. We enjoy fellowship with deity. We bask in his divine providence. And eventually, if we be faithful, there will be heaven for us. And those who have heard and believed and obeyed the gospel, they receive the blessings that come from heaven. Those who are Christians are much like the unfortunate lepers whose situation changed when they came upon a plenteous camp. Christians are the ones who have been so fortunate to have gone from spiritual despair, spiritual poverty, spiritual hunger, and from sinful Samaria to now feast at the provisions of the Lord, partaking of his abundance, basking in the glory of his salvation. But now, do we also possess the same awareness and consciousness of our blessings as did the lepers? Are we truly sensitive to our own spiritual good fortune? How concerned are we for those who are still suffering in starving, sinful Samaria? Do we really grasp our duty to this present age to go to them with the gospel so that they can enjoy forgiveness and be saved? We are to be, if we be in the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And I just wonder how many of us are involved in doing this very thing for others that was done by the brethren of the first century when they went everywhere preaching the gospel, Acts 8 and verse 4. I think we must take stock of our concern for the lost, lest we, like the lepers, who, if we withhold the good news, would receive a retribution for our failure and neglect. Someone has coined the phrase, "We have been saved to save." You know, that's a good commentary on the duty of a Christian. Christ loved mankind. He loved us, and we must love others. But can we truly love others if we are, who are yet in sin, if we do not teach them the way of salvation? Possibly it would help us to consider some of the opportunities that we have before us to discharge this duty. Cannot we make personal contacts, make visitation, show interest in the sick and the bereaved? That's a good place to begin. We could be more attentive to funerals. You know, at a funeral time is such time when the lives of survivors are sometimes changed and they are touched with their responsibilities to God. Yes, everyone should try to teach someone. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone must be a public proclaimer of the word. But we have learned to converse with people on so many other subjects. Cannot we converse with them about the welfare of their soul? Now, most congregations conduct special efforts to teach the gospel through their classes and through their sermons and the gospel meetings and vacation Bible schools and other such things. But there is a host of material that's available to people to help teach other people. There are tracts and recordings that they can give to people to hear the gospel of Christ that they need to know. And some have taken to the task of distributing encouragement to daily Bible reading and to place good tracts in proper location for people to get and to read. Some are very busy enrolling others in correspondence courses and teaching them the way that they ought to go. Well, it would seem to me, and I think it also would seem to you, that it really does not argue the point that if we're truly grateful for our salvation, we're going to want to share that salvation with other people. If we're concerned for the souls around us as the Lord expects us to be, we're going to make an effort to try to let them know that there is abundant supply available for the taking. If we realize our Christian duty and we have a desire to perform that duty, we will do what we can to let somebody else know what we have discovered, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the lepers realized and said one to another, "To withhold this would be wrong." And why? Because it was a day of glad tidings. They had found the solution to the problems that existed in Samaria. They wanted people to know it. And so they went back and told the people about it. At first, some were skeptical, but nonetheless, the supply was finally partaken by the people of the city. Today is a day of good tidings also, that man can be saved from his sins. He can be right with God. He can have the hope of heaven. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.